By the wonderful grace of God, we come together again, come together around His Word through His Spirit. Welcome to Sunday school, again being schooled in the things of Christ, that we might know Him. Intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we're going to deal with the fellowship of His sufferings. Of course, we're speaking of Christ's sufferings. The fellowship of Christ's sufferings. I'm going to open by reading from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. Paul says this, "But what things were gained to me, whatever was profitable to me across the board, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things." A better translation there might be, "for whom I have purposely lost all things." That's the meaning there. "And count them as garbage." I think the King James says dung. Actually, the word means waste, thrown to dogs, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. Notice the excellence of the knowledge of Christ, to be found in Christ, gaining Him. Not having my own righteousness, this is what it means to be in Him, in part. Not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which is from God by faith. That I may know Him. That does mean personal relationship, but so much more. It means an intimate knowing of Christ, a oneness with Christ, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death. And when I see those words, I think of sacrificing self for others, dying to self. And surely Christ did that, and then indeed gave up His very life, life's blood, for the sake of His people. If, excuse me, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, and that was His hope, as well as our hope, our expectation. Yes, to be finally glorified in the resurrection of our bodies. Now, an understanding of this word translated most often as fellowship in the New Testament and lesser times as communion, fellowship, communion, an understanding of those words is absolutely necessary to realize the depth of suffering we are talking about. We're going to look at that today. Two words sum up the two words, fellowship and communion. And those two words are partnership and participation. Fellowship, communion, is partnership and participation. Now, I want us to consider some scriptures using fellowship and one example of using the word communion while inserting the words partnership and participation in their place. First, 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship, the partnership of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. You can use those words interchangeably. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy. Of course, he speaks of the brothers and sisters in Christ for whom he prays. For your fellowship, your participation, your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Fellowship, participation, partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. I'm going to be reading now from 1 John chapter 1, verses 3, 6, and 7. And again, follow with me as we see these words and how they are interchangeable. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you. They saw it, they heard it, they declare it to us, that you also may have fellowship, you may have partnership, you may have participation with us. And truly our fellowship, our partnership, our participation is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now to verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship, if we say that we have partnership, participation with him, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he, Christ, is in the light, we have fellowship, we have partnership, we have participation with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see, when we are even apart from one another, if we walk in light, as Christ is in light, we're having fellowship, partnership, not only with the Father and the Son, but with his people, spiritually speaking. Now, speaking of that word fellowship, we've looked at positive applications. I want us now to look at some negative or a negative application as seen in the following text. So multiple applications here. 1 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, what partnership, what participation has righteousness with unrighteousness? None. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship, and have no participation, no partnership with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Now I want us to look at a scripture, one scripture, where our Greek word is translated communion. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion, the partnership of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now listen to this. This is the way it works. Our partnership with the Holy Spirit allows us, enables us to participate with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. My goodness. By means of the Holy Spirit of God, we participate with God the Father and Jesus Christ, His Son. Yes, we have fellowship. We have communion with our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus Christ in their Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. For today, again, we're going to look at some specifics concerning our fellowship, our participation, our partnership with Jesus Christ. As true Christians, we have partnership with our Lord Jesus Christ by and through the Holy Spirit of Christ who indwells us. He is inside us, spiritually speaking. Yes, we are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. You've heard of demon possession. We are possessed by the Holy Spirit of God. This partnership is real. It is real to the degree that we participate in the eternal life of Christ. And we also participate in the spiritual gifts that He gives us by and through the Holy Spirit. Think of this now. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness or meekness, self-control. Christ gives us a measure of all these. And these are godly virtues, of course. And He does so because we are in partnership with Him. And as He exemplifies all these virtues beyond measure, He enables us to participate with Him in the exercise of these virtues through the power of the Holy Spirit in us. Is that true for you and I who profess to be Christians? Again, as partners in fellowship together with Christ, we are enabled to participate in measure by these virtues, the fruit of the Spirit of God. We are enabled to participate in measure in godly behavior and holiness in this life. That's how we can measure up whether or not we're true Christians. And we do so as we wait in expectation of sinlessness in the life to come when we see Him and we are made like Him without sin. Now, if we're true Christians, as we fellowship with Christ, who is our life, He has also made unto us wisdom and righteousness And the very same Greek word for righteousness is translated justification. Exact same word. He has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, justification, and sanctification. Once again, the very exact same Greek word that is translated sanctification is also translated holiness. Christ has made unto us sanctification, holiness, and redemption, which is the purchase price for the forgiveness of our sin. My goodness. This fellowship with Christ, this participation with Christ, this partnership with Christ renders all of these wonderful benefits. That being true, this fellowship with Christ through the Holy Spirit also makes Christ our hope. And what is biblical hope again, folks? It's our expectation. An expectation of what? Expectation of glory. Listen to Colossians 1:27. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known, God willed to make known, thanks be to God, what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope, the expectation of glory. The Spirit of Christ, who indwells us, gives us that expectation whereby we eagerly wait to see Christ and be made like him. Now, I'm talking about the resurrection of the body together with the Spirit, where we'll have that glorified body and be as Christ is. As I just mentioned, we have all these benefits now with expectation of our final glorification. Listen. But in the plan, in the purpose of God, these are incomplete without the fellowship, the partnership, the participation in the sufferings of Christ. I pray that we heard that, not something you may invite, may look forward to, but it's an absolute fact. All of these benefits that we've mentioned are incomplete without the fellowship, partnership, participation in the sufferings of Christ. Now, as Christians, we need to be aware of the level of sufferings we are going to be given. Now, as I've grown older, some folks don't grow as old as I am. I mean, some Christians. But I can just about guarantee that what I may be suffering in my latter days, they suffered before they went to glory. In the Apostle Peter's first letter, he speaks with apostolic and prophetic authority to you and I, to God's people, concerning their sufferings. He alerts us to grief, grieving, from various trials, being tested by fire, fiery trials. Suffering for righteousness' sake, even as Christ suffered. He was a man of sorrow and grief. And Peter, as led by the Holy Spirit of God, said the following in that very same first letter, knowing that you were called to this. Knowing that you were called to this. Christian, there is no way out from this calling. And Peter also reveals an invaluable result in our participation, our fellowship in Christ's sufferings. Listen closely as we read from 1 Peter chapter 4. Again, you may want to follow along, but please listen. Please listen. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. And he's talking to Christians. He's not talking about things common to man here. Now, I'm going to explain that more as we move on. It's not a strange thing for these things to happen if you're a Christian. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings. Did you hear that? That you partake of Christ's sufferings. That when his glory is revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. This is the invaluable result that I was speaking of. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. In the midst of partaking of Christ's suffering. On their part, Christ is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or a busybody in other people's matters. Yet, if as a Christian, if you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. In this matter, partaking of Christ's suffering. I want us to look even more deeply into the fellowship, the partnership, the participation we have in the sufferings of Christ. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. My goodness, these scriptures we read today are absolutely full, rich in things that God would have us to know. Blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Now, where you see the word comfort, comforts, consolation, exactly the same Greek word. Exactly the same Greek word. The Father of mercies and God of all consolation, who comforts us, who consoles us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. Tribulation is trouble. with the comfort, with the consolation with which we ourselves are comforted by God, consoled by God. Listen, folks, listen to this. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, our comfort also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, tribulation, trouble, afflictions, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings which we also suffer. Friends, if you're a Christian, you are going to suffer, partake of the sufferings of Christ. Or if we are comforted, if we are consoled, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope for you, our expectation for you, is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also of the consolation. I'll do a little explaining. Oh, those verses are just so full. Most importantly, where it speaks of the sufferings of Christ abound in us. The word abound does not describe in fullness what we need to understand about that Greek word. It is from number 4052 in your Strong's Concordance, the Greek Concordance, and I would highly suggest you look it up. The word means to superabound, to be in excess. That's not my opinion. That's the language, folks. Look it up for yourself. Moulton's analytical Greek lexicon, which has every single word used in the New Testament in alphabetical order, it leads with this meaning for the word abound, as so translated: to be over and above. So you see, abound may mean one thing to some folks and something else to others. But what it means superabound, to be in excess, to be over and above. Folks, this is a depth of suffering we talk about here. Now, that is precisely why, and especially recently, I've been saying to you that the Christian life is the tribulation, the great tribulation. And maybe above everything here, or at least on a plane with the most important things, this might be the most important. Only Christians fellowship, participate in the sufferings of Christ, which go beyond the temptations common to man, as we see in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. If you'll carefully read that context, and I have misapplied it before, but I'm going to tell you now how it's rightfully applied. If you'll carefully read the context there in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you'll see that it's speaking about lusting after evil things. It's talking about temptation to sin, but not speaking of suffering for Christ's sake. suffering on behalf of Christ for his purpose. Now, it is a must for you to realize that truth, or you will not understand the difference in the fellowships of the suffering, in the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ, and the common temptation to commit sin. Two different things, folks. Two different things. And we've been talking about these sufferings superabounding. But remember what the text said. It goes on to say, "And thanks be to God, as the sufferings superabound, so also the consolation, the comfort, goes over and above our suffering because we're in partnership with Christ." As the scriptures say, we may be full of sorrow, yet rejoicing in Christ. Now that's a reality for the Christian. We may be sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And that's what we must strive for, that's for sure. True followers of Christ. True followers of Christ are subject to persecution. Was Christ subject to persecution? Being accused of doing wrong when you've done right, being called and viewed as crazy or a fanatic. Christ was accused of being beside himself. Crazy is what that means. Being hated and rejected by family and so-called friends. Being threatened with some form of retribution or violence. I mean, went beyond that with Christ, didn't it? He was killed. And folks, there have been numerous people of God down through the ages who've died for Christ's sake. I don't know, in these last days, that Christians might not be put to death. I don't know. If you were threatened with death unless you denied Christ, what would you do? Being mocked, being imprisoned. That's happened down through the ages as well, hasn't it? All of it happened to Christ. If they hate Christ, they will hate you. If they hate you, it's because they hate Christ. Now, all that being said, nothing, folks, nothing will bring you closer to Christ than the fellowship, the partnership, the participation in the sufferings of Christ. For therein you will find the immeasurable love of Christ for his people. I close with this scripture. First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. I thank my God always concerning you, for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by Him, in all utterance and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, that's the last day. Oh my goodness. Conformed to Christ, confirmed by Christ at the last day. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the height of that fellowship, folks, is the fellowship, the partnership, the participation in the sufferings of Christ. Bless His holy name. Amen.